like to call the meeting of the Finance Committee, April 4th, 10 o'clock, call to order. Are there any comments from the public? If not, let's talk about this Prop 218 meeting. Shoot. Do you have anything to add before I start?
Yeah, maybe Stephen, it sounded like Stephen wanted to start. I mean, basically, we have a meeting coming up on the 26th, and we need to get advertising out, we need to plan it, and discuss roles.
And it's at the Marietta Room over in
Marietta Room. I have the Marietta Room locked in. We have a tentative time of 6 p.m.
On the 26th.
On the 26th for that meeting, and I do not believe, and Director Booth, correct me if I'm wrong, I do not believe we're going to have Lucy Crocker hosting that meeting. I believe you were potentially going to be the host.
Yeah, I think at our last board meeting, we discussed, and I thought there was consensus, that moving forward, committee responsible for a topic, committee members would lead the town hall discussions at the special committee meeting. I understand that Director Poole is not available on April 26th for that meeting, so I'll be leading it, and President Director maybe, I think, will be joining, so we'll have two of us on staff. Director Poole, unless you have something to start with, I wanted to just talk about a handout that I'd like to have prepared for that meeting.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with you starting, but the last time we discussed this at the ad hoc committee, we were going to use the presentation that Russ Branson used, and we were going to try to improve on it so that we have some information to give them.
So that's a great segue, because what I'm thinking, so one of the observations I have from the town hall that the communications committee did on the integrated water master plan is that there were others there that had handouts, and for some reason we did not. So what I'm contemplating is a handout that would include the following seven items. One is an agenda, which will be very simple, obviously, but it will make it official. It'll look like this on our letterhead, so there'll be no question about its authorship. Secondly, is I think that we should present at that meeting a budget process calendar. Now, some of the process has already started, you know, with the board discussing Prop 218 notices, with the notices going out. I think the final day for response on those, the budget hearing in May, well, obviously the April 26th meeting, the budget hearing in May, and then the final adoption of the budget in June. So I think pretty simple calendar.
Right.
So, hey, here's the steps we're going through, folks.
Right.
The third piece I would like to see is a summary of the steps that have already been taken or are in progress to reconcile our financials. That's around town, that's the buzz. Is, you know, they still don't have their financials in order, they're asking for a rate increase, you know, how can they prepare a budget when they don't? So I think it would be important for us to just put that right up front at that meeting. Look, here's what's going on. Here's what we have planned. Here's our estimated completion dates, you know, for the audit, for whatever else we have, and the things that we have going on, when we expect the merger of the new systems, you know, just showing, look, as we've been telling you all, we're working our fannies off on
this.
Mm-hmm. And I just think it's good to present that right up front in the meeting.
Do we happen to know if Vanessa's going to be at this meeting?
I don't believe she is. We can ask if she can.
Yes, because if we're going to be talking about how we're reconciling our financials, our consultant needs to be there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, I will ask Vanessa if she can come in person to that meeting.
And then next to Director Poole's comment, I'm thinking we don't need the entire presentation necessarily that we had at the board meeting. First off, if we do, then we should duplicate it it should be handed out. We can do four slides a page, front to back or something, you know, to keep it small, because people beyond the first couple of rows over there really can't see the screen.
Yeah.
And so a projection on that screen isn't going to be helpful. What I was thinking was not necessarily all of the presentation, but one slide that I think is important is the pie chart that showed the percentage of distribution for our expenditures. 43% goes to personnel, X percent goes to, you know, consultants, blah, blah, blah. And I think that just shows, hey, look, this is where we're spending our money. And it's interesting, I'm hearing some scuttlebutt out on the street, you know, questioning 43% of our budget going for personnel, which I find really interesting. Anybody knows anything at all, A, about government, or B, about service providers, actually the fact that it's only 43% as opposed to a majority of expenditures is probably, you know, noteworthy.
It's because we have positions we need to fill.
I understand. Yep. I understand.
We've got vacancies.
Yeah. Okay. So the pie chart. And then we had for each of our programs, there was a slide of the current and projected costs that just showed round numbers. It also showed in water and wastewater the two studies that we're talking about. And since I think it's important to remind the community that dialogue and discussion is still open on how we're going to fund those particular components specifically. And I think that there is, while no decision has been made in that regard, there has been at least a suggestion that we might choose to fund that out of reserves, which would positively affect, that is reduce the rate increases that would be needed in those programs. So I think those slides definitely would be helpful.
Could you bring that presentation up?
Yes, I surely can. Paula, will you help me know, is it in SharePoint?
It is in SharePoint, yes. It's in the March 27th board meeting.
March 27th, thank you very much.
It's the Russ Branson presentation.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then...
And I think, to your point, one thing that also will be part of the discussion is that those are not ongoing expenses. And so the right. rate increase, one of the questions that was posed to me recently is this going to be an ongoing rate increase because once the studies are completed, we no longer have those expenses? And that is something that internally we would absolutely flag. That would not be included in any future rate increases. The studies have already been completed. So there's the question of operating versus reserves. And where's the appropriate place to fund those if it's not an ongoing expense?
Well, and there's maybe two ways to skin that cat. Mm-hmm. I understand we're looking at it as a one-time expenditure, at least in the short term. We'll
Correct.
Have similar expenses in the future. So if we were to fund them as part of our operating budget, when it came time to review operating costs for the next fiscal year, that would not be a continuing cost. That would be backed out. But to your point, I think, Paula, that argument may very well be a reason for this board to seriously consider mm-hmm. funding these one-time costs out of reserves as opposed to building
Correct.
Them into the rates.
It's probably easier to do that, and it would be to reduce rates the next year if there's no study.
Yeah, well, reduce or just maybe not need to increase. But I agree. I think don't want to speak for the board, but it sounded at the last board meeting like there was some support for discussing that further.
Have the budgetary needs that you made. That's Atkins. No,
that's it.
Thank you very much.
And then the next item that I think should go in the handout is a very detailed breakdown of the solid waste increases. What amount of that increase is due to just the operating cost increases that, you know, our new contract with the solid waste collection company requires? How much of that is attributable to the state legislation on organic waste? How much of that is the increase in the cost to the landfill, and how much of that is because we were subsidizing the rates out of property taxes in prior years. And I think the 218 notices address some or all of that, but I just think a simple breakdown on a separate sheet without all of the other 218 verbiage on the solid waste, or at least reduced, I think, because that is that's the one we're asking for the greatest percentage of increase. May not be the greatest dollar increase, but it's the greatest percentage increase. And also, it's the one that we really have no control over. We have to pass that through, mm-hmm. or we have to talk about how do we reduce services, which seems pretty difficult to do. And then the final component that I would suggest we have in a handout is the sample bill, similar to what I saw with the 218 notices that came out or are going out. Are they out in the mail yet?
They should be, yes.
Okay. And that would be one of the dates that we would obviously put in that calendar that I spoke to earlier.
So sample bill, like the average.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I mean, just showing, hey, look, this is, you know, and then people can ask questions about any specific part of that if they choose to.
We have most of this pretty much done.
I mean, most of it's already created. It's just, I think that if we condensed it and put, so there's the pie chart. Can you turn it a little bit, Michael, way? Mr. Gere, you can see it okay if we turn it? Okay.
I had some comments. Can I go backwards a little bit?
Sure, yeah. I will do whatever you want. Okay, understand that.
No, I meant about what we talked about already.
Yeah.
We said who's going to be there. What about the staff? What staff are going to be there?
I'll
be there.
Paul will be there.
Okay.
And then hopefully Vanessa.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I'm going to ask Vanessa.
She's got to be there. Russ Branson is going to be there, from what I understand.
Correct. I believe he'll be in person.
Yeah. And Vanessa needs to make it. She needs to make that a priority. Unless she's got something else. I mean, but really, I mean, she's the one that the district has hired to spearhead, you know, our financials. So she's got to be there.
So Steve had some of the same comment I did on solid waste. Let's go to solid waste then first.
Okay, this is one pie chart.
Go all the way. Yeah, keep going.
And there you go.
So that's page 12.
So has Russ updated this slide yet?
I've not seen an updated slide.
I don't think so. No.
He said
not since. Oh, what?
You said he was, right?
I haven't seen anything.
That's important.
I don't recall what was the purpose of the update.
The operating expenses are wrong.
Yeah.
Because if you remember in our board meeting, they actually turned out to be 33%.
Right.
This is 19. He missed some expenses.
Oh, right. And that was because he didn't have the subsidization value. The district's been subsidizing
the
rates. And that was like $4 worth or something, wasn't it?
So, Paula, you can work on getting that from Russ.
Yes. Yes. I actually have an email into him to schedule a discussion.
Great.
So,
I think the big thing is getting Vanessa to be there at that meeting.
So, I had the same comment about actually showing how we got the rate increases to, I don't know, $11 or something like that.
Which he's going to have to make that committee.
This is the corrected version of this is the basis of our rate increase.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see exactly how you go from this to the actual rate and then describe what's in the rate. There's a bunch of increases fees from Cal Waste that needs to be shown how we got to this point. Because just telling them that it's 33% is not going to fly very well.
So, no.
So if we show what those things are and how we got the actual increase that we approved for the 218 notice, I think that would go a long ways to explaining what's going on.
That might be an additional slide.
We actually have that slide. That's the slide number 3 from the one that Cal Waste provided us. We had used that on the March 27th meeting.
Yeah, so what we're looking for, I think, Director Pohl, is up there, the second line on the graph on the right is rate increase. looks like 184,000, is it? Yeah. Almost 185.
It's going to be more.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Well, so whatever, so that needs to be updated to reflect the actual increase. And then I think a second slide behind that to actually break down what contributes to that increase, to your point.
And we have that, Paula. It sounds like we have
we
that.
We do, yes.
Cool.
And then,
okay.
And then finally, Steve brought this up that this proposal for the 218 is actually a maximum rate increase. And there's going to be budget negotiations as to what we actually make it. And one of those negotiations, I think, needs to be shown as the $1.49 for the bulk waste pickup. That's got to be on the table as an alternative to lower the rates.
Yeah.
And that
should be evident on one of those slides.
If we break it down,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
then
yeah.
that's something that we have discretion over.
Yeah, yep. Something that we can pull off.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. That's that. Let's go to wastewater.
Go back to wastewater?
Yeah.
There you go.
Do you have any comments on this one?
I don't specifically. I know it's a pretty big hit.
So one of the...
I'm sorry. Is the study in
no.
there?
Not in wastewater.
That's all in water,
It's all
right?
in water.
And the reason the wastewater is going up is the reallocation of labor based on actual...
And that was one of the questions we had at the 27th meeting, and I think we should show that allocation to staff in a slide. So it's explained. Current staffing for water is X number being reduced to Y number.
Right.
Current staff in wastewater is A being increased to B.
And we're following best practices charging what actually is.
And what that dollar value
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I that was one of my notes. The other note I had was an actual derivation of the wastewater fee increase. What it was previously, and it is going up by 17%, so it's this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just a multiplication of an increase of 17% to the old one.
So did the sample bill chart on the 218 notices show that?
Yes.
Because it breaks down, it shows the $14 that goes into the reserve, it shows the base rate, and then there was an estimated cost for usage, right?
Yes.
Okay.
There is, for both water and wastewater, two separate line items that will show the base charge and then the $14 reserve contribution fees. So it's broken out pretty well.
So current and then projected.
Correct.
I haven't seen the 218 notice.
Amelia.
Bring it up.
If I send you the sample bill, can you pull that up so they can see that?
Is it in the 218 notice you already?
It is probably not.
We haven't received
not.
It, but I looked at it online. It's on the website.
You can get, yeah, you can get right to
all
it.
Three
it's
of them
first thing on the website.
Yeah.
Okay. It's right on the website. I have to figure out how to get out of here now.
So this handout, you know, we'll make it available probably to download prior to the meeting and then probably have some printed out, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to figure out a drop-dead date to get that on the website. Maybe, I don't know, a week before or something. Possible.
Okay.
Or
we'll have to work with Russ to get expedite all of this.
Yes, yes. Sometime before, so people have the chance to download it, look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll probably want to print some. I'm not sure how many we're going to want to print, depending on how many pages they are. That could be a lot of paper.
Well, again, with the slides, if you take them right off of the PowerPoint, you can put multiple pages on one sheet, and you can duplicate front to back,
sure.
which reduces the total number. It's a little more work on the front end, but saves time and paper. It's not as bulky a handout to handle at a meeting.
Is this what you were looking for?
Yes.
There's obviously the reserve contribution. Current rate, so it's staying the same.
Reserve contributions are not changing.
$14.
It's just the base charge for both water and wastewater.
So this will be in the handout, right?
Mm-hmm. This is the updated, with the updated info?
Yes.
The total bill behind the gates is 10.23% increase.
No, yeah, that's not too bad.
That's not bad.
Okay.
Okay.
Anything else on back to wastewater for you, Steve?
No. Thank you.
How about water?
You want to go back to that other presentation?
Yeah, I think that's what
we want. Here we go. And this is the water operations.
Nope.
Let me know when you can see it.
Not yet.
There we go.
There it is.
There you go.
So, yeah, I think this slide is one that I want to include it in a course. We need somewhere to identify. So there's two studies, right, that we're talking about being funded out of this?
Yes.
And that's part of the rate increase dollar.
Correct.
So I think we need a slide behind this that shows the components for that increase, whether it's just the projected operations cost increases, study one, study two. I don't know if there's any other factors. There's a reduction because of the shifting of staff. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we show, you know, current in a slide behind this one, current operations, and then projected, and you know, the additions and the subtractions, and then again, at least with regard to the studies, we know we have an option, and I think we present that at the meeting. Look, there's discussion about these are one-time costs, and instead of putting them into the rate, the board is considering, and I think we need to be prepared to show, if we back both of those studies out, how much that would reduce the projected increase.
Zero increase.
So we're calling this thing a capital improvement project.
We have the water, and the master water.
So it's a combination of, so this is water's portion of the five-year rate study and CIP study. And then we have the remainder of the integrated water master plan that we estimate will need funding for next fiscal year.
That five-year rate study also includes a cost allocation plan?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think people would like to hear that we're not only doing the five-year rate study, but we're also doing a new cost allocation plan.
Yeah, that was such a small part, we didn't put the additional letters in, but I hear what you're saying.
It's people have heartburn with that sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, I have to admit, to that point, one of the first discussions I had with Paula was about the allocation, because I had heard complaints around town that the allocation for security was too high.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at the percentage of our employees that are in that department, you know, if I just went straight line on personnel costs, it's not too high. If I went on operating costs, I'm not sure how it matches up, but that would be the whole point of an allocation study. We talked in a previous, I don't know if it was a committee meeting or a board meeting, about providing the rationale, having whoever does this rate study for us, when they consider the allocation, tell us what the criteria are that should be utilized in making that allocation. Again, I, for my own edification, I'd like to know, you know, what's the standard practice in the industry for allocation, and are we compliant with that? And if not, then what adjustments do we need to be made? So Martin, I agree. I think we need to spell, at least make that as a notation, that part of the five-year study will also be to consider cost allocation of administrative costs.
And then, you know, yeah. I mean, then there's the portion of that study that would be charged to wastewater that's just plan to just go right from reserves because we just couldn't raise the rates past already. I mean, that was the justification at the time to not place that portion on the wastewater rate because they're already so high.
So we'll be placing it all in water operations?
No, we'll be taking that. The plan is to take that portion of the wastewater that's allocated to wastewater right out of reserves.
Okay.
Otherwise, your increase in sewer would be
right. Well, astronomical. And that just reinforces the argument that we should do the same with the portion that's allocatable to water operations. If we've already decided we're doing it on the wastewater side, and if we were to take those studies out of the water operations cost, we'd end up with a zero increase or close to it, then that's a strong argument, because then that makes it easy. It mitigates a little bit psychologically against the other rate increases and shows that we're actually thinking this stuff through.
It gives you some room.
Yeah.
Likewise, you could keep the integrated water master plan portion in there and vice versa.
Right. So show those components in a slide behind this. We're comfortable with these numbers? It was only solid waste where we had some things that weren't accounted for?
Correct.
So we got the kind of lined out the handout. You said seven items. I only have six. There's something that we missed.
Agenda, budget process calendar.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The steps we've taken and are taking on finances. The pie chart distribution of expenditures. Mm-hmm. Projected program cost slides.
Okay, I had those under the same number.
Okay, yeah. And then breakdown of solid waste increases, and we've subsequently, so we want breakdown of some of the other stuff as well, so they would be secondary slides attached to the main line, and then the sample bill.
Got it.
And then the sample bill, so it's got it.
So we should give a little discussion about advertising. How do we want to run that? Do we want to do the banner? Do we want to just advertise how we usually advertise meetings? Do you think it's out there that we're having a meeting? Do you think people know?
I don't know. It's interesting. I had an inquiry from a community member earlier in the week basically asking for clarification what the meeting is for. This happens to be an individual who's more interested in the integrated water master plan than on the rates in the 218 notices. So once I clarified that it was to focus on the proposed budget, provide a forum for discussing the 218 proposed rate increases, that person was satisfied. So I think we're too late to get it into this month's pipeline, right?
Is it in the pipeline? Did we not mention that? I thought we mentioned that in the pipeline.
It is mentioned in the pipeline in the front
page. But it's not the big spread like we had for the...
Right. It's just mentioned. And then I believe it's probably going to be in the RVT at least once.
Yes.
Prior to...
I heard from people that, I posted a bunch of those handbill notices around the community for the last town hall. I had several people comment that they saw them when they were visiting those establishments. So I don't know that I have time this month to do that again. I don't know if we could impose either on front desk staff or maybe Kelly's security patrol officer could take. I can tell you where I put them if you want to see if somebody can do them again. They were posted at the RMA building. They were posted at the community building at the Villages, mm-hmm. Barcode Barbers, Go For Pizza, Ace Hardware, the cleaners next door to Ace Hardware, both realtors, Hoberg's, whatever her company is, over in the old plaza, and Ina's in the new. Both the hair salon and the barber shop down in the plaza. Seems like there was one other place. But all those places were very willing to put them up. And as I said, people told me they saw them going into the barber shop, going into Ace Hardware, going into Mark's place at Gofor.
I think that if you could send Amelia that list, we're going to take...
Right.
We can do is we can take the template that we had last time. Amelia said that she does have time to update that to 218. and then we can get that out, and then we'll work with you on proof, and then we can hand it to Kelly and have his security people put it out that list. I mean, that's...
I just walked in, told people, and security people will be even more obvious than I was, because they'll be in the uniform, to say, hey, we'd like to post this. And the only place, I had one place turn me down with an explanation, and I was comfortable with that. It was one of the eating establishments.
Yeah.
And I will ask and see if I can get it up at the billboard again. Do you want me to make flyers? Banners.
I mean, we didn't get a banner last time, did we? Was
we
there
did.
A banner? I never saw it.
There were three banners.
Okay.
I think the banners might just be overkill.
I think they just get lost because they're not big enough to have an impact.
I don't know that I would spend the money on the banners this time.
Okay. I think
the majority of the people that are interested in 218 know when that meeting is.
Yeah, and obviously post it on the website, post it on Facebook. I will put something up on Nextdoor.
Okay.
Announcing it. I have access to Nextdoor.
And then I don't
engage in conversations with folks, but to post information. I did that after the last town hall. There was some discussion, and I just shared the fact that the slides and the video from the town hall were available on the RMCSD website.
And we can video this one as well.
Right.
Paula, looks like you had something to say.
No, Amelia talked about putting it up at the Bel Air.
The Bel Air, I'll get it. Mm-hmm.
So I think we'll
I'll send you a proof this afternoon. Stephen, would you like to see the proof of the ad as well? Marty?
Sure.
Okay, I'll send it over to both of you.
And then we can get security to pass it out.
Please be sure to use my district email.
And so Stephen, if you can get us a list of those places that you'd like to see.
Yeah, that's fine.
Happens.
Yeah, I didn't try Bel Air or Tractor Supply. When I took them, I was told in advance that their company policy, by others, who have tried, may be worth trying still, but I'm not surprised at the larger non-community per se businesses.
Right, the corporate.
Because they would get inundated.
Yeah.
Like I said, the local entrepreneurs were very, very accommodating.
I have one other thing to add to this presentation. And I had asked Vanessa to come up with a paragraph that duplicates her explanation of our process for the 218 rate increase derivation. And it had to do with looking back through historicals versus going forward with known personnel costs and escalated expense costs. And has she done that yet? Have you seen it?
I have not seen that. We'll actually be meeting with her today, Marty.
Yeah.
So we could reinforce that. If she's going to be at the meeting, that would be a place for her to chime in.
She is. I mean, it's my opinion that she's got to be at that meeting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you understand what I was talking about?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that point, I think, is critical. And it ties in, I think, to my desire to see us have a list of the steps that have been taken and the steps in progress. That might be a good introduction for her. Look, in, you know, because we have to own the fact that we don't have solid financials yet. And a lot of this is, and I think, you know, the rationale, you know, as it's well known, I voted against the rate increases for water operations and wastewater. However, the majority of the board decided to move forward with those, and so I'm going to support them and provide as the best explanation that I can as to, you know, this was decided in order for us to get through the next fiscal year without going more into the hole potentially while we do finish all these other things. And on that basis, I can support that at the April 26 meeting, but I think it's critical that Vanessa sort of headline that for us because I think she's in a better position to make it credible because she knows what she's working on and where we are.
You know, and And I don't know if this is out of line or not, but this might be an opportunity to let the public know how hard staff have been working, even though, you know, we're not there yet, doesn't mean that staff has not been diligent. And it's an opportunity to let the public know how hard staff is working on their behalf. And that's something that I would personally...
Well, and that's why I think the slide that shows steps that have been taken,
yes,
you know, what's still pending, because not only does it show the amount of work that's going into it, but it shows the complexity of the problem. And I think that, you know, is perhaps, and I'm reminded of when I worked at the state, and we had a classification and comp unit at Human Resources, and I was getting beaten up by labor organizations about how long it was taking to get classification studies completed. And I went to talk to a couple of the leads, and I recall the one lead saying, "Well, I can't possibly get it all done. I have 37 classification projects on my desk. I can't possibly get them all done." I said, "Okay, start with one." This doesn't lend itself to that because so much is integrated,
correct,
and interrelated. And so we can't just punch out one and move on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think to the extent that can be demonstrated graphically and then discussed, I think especially by Vanessa, certainly Paula can talk about, you know, the staff time that's going into it, but in terms of the complexity, I think it would be good to have Vanessa address that.
We may also want to say a few things about how we will, what the steps that we're taking will prevent this from happening again in the future.
Yeah. And for what it's worth, again, I have my ear to the ground and my eye on the next door. A lot of comments basically expressing sympathy for the staff and pointing fingers at the leadership, which is fine. You know, I mean, that's kind of where it belongs. So there is at least a sympathy, although, you know, they attack executives and they want to know how much we're all getting paid. I think there was a question and answer the other day that you responded to, Paula, I think, about the 8.5,
oh, yes,
percent increase.
Someone asked me the question about,
yeah,
the 8.5.
That was shared with me by the individual. I don't know if you copied me or the individual did.
MOU related.
Could you go to page?
Yes.
Yeah, those were MOU.
Yeah, it's the MOU relation. It's, I think, you know, that's it, because we are so complex. Sometimes the information gets lost in the translation, and a lot of the answers that we provide the public are very high level because going into those complexities is confusing, and it looks like it's a much larger issue than it really is. And so there's that fine balance of providing that explanation that's going to be clear and concise and make sense so the public understands,
yeah,
it.
So if I recall, Michael, the challenge was on the 8.5% and question how much the executives were getting as an increase. Paula's explanation was this 8.5 is the step increases for those that have not reached the top of their wage scale yet, plus we're allowing, you know, some estimated amount for negotiated salary increases, and specifically said the executives would not be receiving an increase, and that was contingent upon a future executive salary study.
Correct.
So I think...
Yeah. So that's why on that first bullet up there, I think that needs to be expanded, because it isn't necessarily everybody's getting 8.5.
That's right.
Right, and I think when we put this together, the 8.5% increase based on represented, I added the word represented so that it was clear that it is represented budgeted positions, not unrepresented, but without going into lengthy detail, I was hoping that the word represented would be provide that understanding. But we can absolutely expand on that and make that clear.
So the 3.5 is already negotiated?
No. Currently, the 3.5% is what is negotiated in the current three-year MOU. This MOU expires December 31st, 2023. So we're looking at going into negotiations fairly soon here. The 3.5% was a potential projection based on current COLAs and inflation.
Why don't we just say what our assumptions are?
Yeah. Spell it out.
Of course.
Okay.
Because otherwise people are going to see 8.5, period, and then think it's too much.
So I think this slide with the modifications that Martin's pointed out would be a good slide to go in between the budget process calendar and the steps that we're taking. And that would probably be the segue to introduce Vanessa. I'd really rather have Vanessa do this than Branson for consistency.
Yeah, I hear you.
Just, I mean, let's focus on one consultant. I know that she basically he worked in support of what she's doing, so let's let her be the one presenting for consistency, and then she can go right into talking about all the other stuff that's going on. And
so should Russ even be there or just be available for questions?
He was scheduled to fly.
He's scheduled to come out.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
So, I mean,
it would certainly.
Should we save that expense?
Maybe.
Or should we have him there to answer questions?
Do you think that there are any questions that Vanessa would not be able to answer that he would?
I don't believe so. No, she's worked with him on this particular project as well as staff. So,
I would propose that we save the time and expense then and just rely upon, again, I like focusing on Vanessa, you know, as opposed to subcontractors and, you know, whatever else.
Yeah, well, I mean, that would probably be contingent on her being able to make this the 26th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if she can't, then I don't know what we do.
Then we have at least.
Then we have to have Russ come out, and you and Paula are going to have to address all the steps that we've taken.
Yeah. Well, at least she'll have, like, if she puts a paragraph in there about what the process is, I think it would. Even if she doesn't come out, at least we have that.
Yeah. Okay. So it sounds like you're saying, if I'm not mistaken, regardless if Vanessa can make it, we don't necessarily need Russ there. Is that what I'm hearing?
I'd like to have Tim's going to be there. I'd like to have him weigh in on that.
Yeah. Okay. I can discuss that with Tim.
Is there any other slides? Can we go back to the top and just thumb through
them
all?
Let's thumb through them, yep, okay.
So this is going to stay, right?
Okay.
Next one, this is going to stay, I presume. That's going to stay.
I think this is a good one, Marty.
And then
you know, what
this
I'll,
one's going to stay. Go ahead.
Right? Oh, I was just going to say, what I'll do is, you know, we had. Typically, every year, the district has provided a very lengthy budget presentation when we do the Prop 218. We didn't do that this year. We had the condensed version because we were on a tight turnaround. And then we also had an external consultant do it. So what I can do is take that PowerPoint that we used for last year, which breaks out things a little bit more clearer, and then work with Russ to update some of these slides, get them a little more consistent, and then provide that additional information that you guys are asking
for. So if we're going to do this, if we're going to keep all these other slides, I was looking at just taking hand-picking, but I think there is value in having the complete presentation. Then I think we need to have it, again, whether we go four slides per sheet or six slides per sheet,
okay,
a condensed version, then I think the entire presentation needs to be in the handout.
Yeah, and we need to be careful about that because a lot of times if you go more than two slides per page, depending on what the font is, it becomes unreadable.
I've seen.
Are there some we
three
can,
at the max.
Are there some we can kill? Some sheets we can kill?
I don't know. Let's go through.
So we want this one, yes. Revenue forecast.
Yes.
I'm sorry, go back to that.
Yes,
did it specifically provide the estimated property tax revenues?
Property tax.
Does it provide a value?
Okay.
I don't know if it did.
I thought we had...
It's somewhere.
I think
I've
we had... It is
it.
Somewhere in there. It's probably buried in there, but we'll highlight that in the property tax
line. It was like $800,000,
wasn't
it?
Correct.
Yeah, that's eight and a quarter, something like that is what I heard. Okay.
We don't need that.
I'm just going to add paper if we keep that one, last one, right?
Yeah. Needed rate increases by fund. This seems pretty straightforward.
I don't like that slide.
I would agree with you because it's we're going to cover it in the other slides.
Yeah.
Each one.
Let's take that one out.
Okay, we need 10, 11.
And then we need the backups to 10 and 11.
Yeah. Right. So there'll be backups for each one of those.
There'll be a 10A and a 11A or something.
Yeah.
Whatever we
and
call
then
it.
12 for the solid waste, which will put the backup slide from cow waste.
Right.
Well, there's the property tax, but what's the purpose of this slide?
Yeah, I don't think that gives us any value.
Well, that was the value for the meeting. Like, if the board wanted to adjust it, what would that mean? But yeah, we can take that out. We don't want to give people the.
I'd rather talk about moving this dollar amount.
Yeah.
And what impact does that have,
sure.
rather than try
so
to
take that one
work
out.
On percentages.
Questions.
Take that out.
Okay. Yeah.
That'll be implicit in that.
So how many total slides are there?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9.
That includes
nine
the ones.
9 plus 10, 11, 12 will be the backups for the water, wastewater, and solid waste. And then you wanted another backup on slide number 7, which was the revenue forecast.
Or just expand that slide.
Just expand
Paula,
the slide.
What do you think?
Yeah, we can expand it.
So we're talking 12 slides.
Mm-hmm. 4 pages or something.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
No, that's not bad at all. I mean, we're going to end up with eight or 10 page total.
Yeah.
And again, do it front to back.
Four actual
sheets of paper. That's manageable.
2 slides on a page.
Well, good. We beat that up a lot.
I mean, take a look at what 3 looks like.
What 3 looks like, if I can read it.
Yeah, I mean, what 3 looks like, that's going to take four sheets. So that's 2 pages, 2 sides, if you can get 3 a page. If you only go
you theoretically want to be at least 8-point font
for
people's reading ability.
Yeah.
Although people read 4 on their phones all day.
Well, I mean, I've done a lot of presentations with PowerPoint, and I've managed to put 4, on a page, mm-hmm. and it's still readable.
Yep.
What you don't put is the lines for comment, for notes.
Right.
All right. Okay.
Because that's an option on the PowerPoint.
Mm-hmm.
If you cut down a page.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, sir.
And how many would you recommend that I printed? Will you tell me that right before the meeting?
Do we think we're going to have as many people show up for this as we did for the other?
If we printed 40 and 150 people show up, then people can share.
They can share and they can look at it on their phones or their, because I'll have it posted before we go in.
Well, let's do 50.
Okay, very good.
Plus copies for the front table. Which is what, going to be 5 of us? 6, counting Vanessa.
5 or 6.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Us 3, Tim is 4, Vanessa's 5.
That's it.
And Amelia.
Oh, yes.
I'll come. I can't miss another meeting.
Okay.
No, you cannot.
Okay, so it sounds like we've covered the Prop 218. Is there's nothing else on the agenda, mm-hmm. I don't think. Is there any, you want to bring anything else up that we haven't brought in?
I mean, it's just some of the lessons learned from last time. We need to secure a more redundant PA system because the PA system that they provided there is, I don't know, the battery ran out. It was kind of dumb. So we need to, I think we can rent that from, what's her name?
From Nellie.
Nellie Blooms.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a backup system I can bring. It's very rudimentary, and I will bring that. It's a powered PA speaker and a microphone, so if worse comes worse, at least we have that.
So we talked in our debrief at the 27th meeting about the microphones, and there's basically 2 different approaches that can be taken. One is to have a stand-up mic and have individuals come and stand at the mic, as we do here.
Yes. Yes.
And we could ask people who wish to speak or pose a question to line up. The advantage of that is we might be able to plug in hardwire.
That's what I'm thinking.
Into the overhead system at Murrieta room number one. Although I don't know, their PA system when I go to some of the events up there is never great either. Secondly, it assures people have an opportunity to speak in order. Mm-hmm. I'm not completely opposed to taking a mic around, but it's hard. You look in here and you don't see this person yeah. over here that's been waiting. I prefer, right. and that's a process that I've used at a lot of larger meetings. So I think we should plan to set it up that okay. way. Even if we can get two microphones, one on either side of the audience, and we just alternate.
Well,
if
we have need microphones too. And
well,
need,
that's right.
We need to make sure that ours is hardwired as well. So I'll talk to Nellie about what we can rent, and then I'll bring a backup.
Okay.
But my back will just be my own. It's my own personal power speaker.
I mean, I know personally I don't need a microphone, but it's better.
Yeah.
That I don't have to shout, you know, to the back of the room. That's a big room. It's vacuous.
Yeah.
And so will we be timing our speakers, our comments, to 3 minutes like I would? Is it going to be a committee?
It's a committee meeting, and I don't anticipate a lot of long speeches. I don't know that I want to try to time them per se. I'm hoping most of it comes in the form of questions or suggestions. And I hope that works for us. We had only a small number of speakers last time that spoke for any extended period of time. So
if it's a committee meeting, if it's going to be a finance committee meeting, then you're not expecting Mr. Maybe to comment or to talk at the meeting?
Mr. Maybe is sitting in lieu of Director Pohl.
He can talk.
We'll only have two people there, so he is interim finance committee member for that meeting, I guess.
Well, you also don't have a board quorum.
Right.
So we'll have access to Mr. Ramos today.
We'll double check.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, I don't foresee it being, but it's always good to check.
Okay.
Okay.
Is there anything else, sir?
Nothing else. Sounds like we're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks.